Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I talked a little bit, taking the offering, about privilege. And I really believe it's a privilege to gather with you. You know, I go out there between services and talk to people. And that's just a time where I just receive so much. So many people hugging and saying so many good things. And just so much love flowing out there in that foyer between services. And I really do receive so much from you, and I count it a privilege to be here. I'm glad that 69 years old, Pastor Brandon, is still giving me my spot to preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I was talking to Gabriel. He's getting ready to start that church, and he's trying to pick my brain a little bit. And I said, well, it's all about balance and making sure that you stay in your lane. I received a great text from Brother Brett Jones the other day. It's just a long text. But his text was, thank you, Brother Steve, for staying in your lane. You found your lane and you stay in. It's very important we stay in our lane where God calls us. And I was trying to talk to him about we don't criticize other people for doing it different ways. We just do it the way the Lord has called us to do it. But you have to have balance and make sure when you're fulfilling your role that you're not getting somebody else's lane and impeding them from fulfilling their role. So I don't want to do that. Brandon's got an amazing anointing, amazing calling on him. But I do thank you that I'm still here. Turn to the Word of God. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. My subject is the man on the roof. You may be seated. The question today is, do you want to be a part of the crowd that never got in? Do you want to be a part of the analytical, critical scribes that this passage says was sitting there? Scribes were responsible for the inscriptions, the record keepers, the legal documents, those that were making sure that all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed. They were kind of a combination between what we would call reporters and lawyers, and they were there to document what was happening. And generally by nature, they were critical people. Do you want to be part of the critical crowd that just observes and writes it down? Do you want to be part of the crowd that never quite gets through the door? Or do you want to be the man on the roof? I want to be the man on the roof receiving my miracle. When things try to crowd me out, I want to tear the roof off. God loves people on the roof. I can just tell you that. It takes a lot of effort to get on the roof, especially when you can't walk. This man couldn't walk, but yet he was able to get on the roof. There's a similar story in the book of John chapter 5 about a man laying at the pool of Bethesda. He'd been there for 38 years. I say similar. Really, I suppose the only similarity was that Jesus Christ healed him. There are more differences than similarities. They were both sick and they were both miraculously healed. But the truth is that one had palsy. The man on the roof had palsy and the man at the pool was impotent. There is a difference between palsy and impotency. Palsy is a medical term which refers to various types of paralysis, often accompanied by weakness and the loss of feeling and uncontrolled body movements such as shaking. Palsy speaks of paralysis interrupted by involuntary and undesired movement. When you talk about being impotent, it means weak, feeble, needing strength or power, unable to by nature move. You're disabled by disease or an accident to perform any act. It's called impotent. I know that thou was slow to hear. He said that meant they were impotent in their hearing. You're wanting the power of propagation, and you just don't have that. That's impotent. And so when we look at that, the impotence speaks of the inability to move as desired. You just can't move. We've seen all those kind of people in our life. We've seen people that are paralyzed, but they have involuntary movement. They make bad judgments in a hurry. They make quick decisions that they regret all of their life. And then we see those that are impotent that simply don't move. They're just immobile. They just never do anything with their life. But the truth is, Jesus Christ came to work miracles in all kinds of personalities. Your personality is diverse from someone else's. But your personality is not an impediment to the power of Almighty God. God loves us all, and because of His innate ability, God is able to minister to us regardless of the type of personality we are. The biggest difference between these, however, was that the man on the roof came to Jesus, and man by the pool, Jesus came to him. You know, in the Bible, it's unique to read and realize that Jesus very rarely went to people that were sick. They normally came to him, or he was summoned to them, but he did not initiate many trips like this. But it was a unique thing when Jesus went to this pool of Bethesda and talked to this man. But I don't want to talk so much about him as I want to zero in on the man on the roof. I identify with him, the man that was not invited to the party, but he went anyway. That's kind of my personality. I don't have to have an invitation to show up. If I want to go, I just go. They got to make room for me. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 11:12. And from the day of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. I know that the meek shall inherit the earth, but I don't want the earth. I want heaven. And heaven suffers violence. People that make up their mind that they will not miss it. They cannot be stopped, praise God. The kingdom of God is my possession. I'm radically motivated to say whatever God has, I claim. That God is no respecter of persons, so that means that I'm able to receive it in Jesus' name. Three of my favorite Bible characters are the Syrophoenician woman, the woman that did not deserve a miracle, but demanded and got it. The other is Jacob that stole a birthright to get the blessing. And the third is the widow woman that just would not be intimidated by the judge that said, I don't fear God or regard man. She said, I don't care whether you fear God or regard man. Just wake up to this realization, sir. Every day I will be knocking on your door until finally he threw up his hands in disgust. And he said, I don't fear God, don't regard man. But he said, by your continual coming, you weary me. What is it you need? And the Bible said she got what she was asking for. Those are my kind of heroes, people that tear the roof off. This is the reason why I am in love with Jesus Christ and so radically embrace Christianity, because I am blessed beyond my behavior, I possess beyond my entitlement, and I have what my talent does not qualify me. That's what God says. If you want it, you can have it. If you're hungry, you shall be fed. If you'll knock long enough and loud enough, the door will open. That's what God says. So there's nobody here with an excuse today, because by the fact that you don't have enough talent, it doesn't mean anything. You just got to stand up and say, I demand in the name of Jesus Christ that heaven listen to me, because I was created in the image of God, and I might look like an orphan, but praise God, I'm a son of God, and I'm here to claim what is mine. So do we still have women that are not intimidated but will overcome? Do we still have Jacobs that say, I might not have been born on the right side of the track, but praise God, I'm going to get me a birthright and I'm going to get a blessing? There are so many truths to be drawn from the man on the roof. And that is, regardless of your situation, if you make up in your mind, you can't be stopped. If you're looking for excuses, believe me, they will come to you by the truckloads. But if you're just somebody that says, I don't care what the situation is or the circumstance, I'm going to get what God said I can have, you can do it regardless of the impediments and the embattlements. You said, I'm just going to tear the roof off. But you say, well, it wasn't so much him as the four people that carried him. you have to realize this was a strong personality, because even laying on his bed incapacitated, he was able to solicit four people that would carry him where he wanted to go. Ladies and gentlemen, you simply can't smother out will. If you've got the will, it's going to come to pass. I will not be denied. I'll pray till it happens. I'll praise until it opens. I'll seek until I find. I will not be stopped. So you got to find in your life people around you, solicit them, that are going to help you fulfill your goals and obtain what you want in life. Just four is all he had. You know, you need some people in your life. Let me just urge you to come to Living Way Church. But if you should move to another city, if you just get tired of looking at me, whatever reason, and you got to choose a preacher that won't drop you when you're sick. Everybody wants you when you're feeling good. Everybody wants you when you got a job and you're writing tithing checks. But find you a preacher that won't drop you when you're sick and won't shun you when you don't have a job. Somebody that's going to carry you where you want to go. This man on this bed wasn't nearly as feeble as he appeared, because he had that thing in him called desire. And desire can overcome every obstacle. I might be palsied and I might be sick, but I ain't down and out yet. I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm going to rise again. There might be somebody in this building today that's lost your job. You're going to get a better job, brother. Just get up and brush your teeth and shine your shoes and wash your face and say, praise God, I'm going to go out where the light's going to shine on me, because God's got a better thing for what I just lost. It's called desire. I won't quit. I won't stop. I won't mope. I will not exercise my excuse. I'll just say, somehow I'm going to get to Jesus and get what I need. So if you're going to get four people, choose you a preacher that won't drop you when you're sick. Number two, choose you a spouse that won't abandon you, in sickness. It said in sickness or in health. That won't abandon you when you're poor. It said richer or poor. That will not abandon you when the wrinkles come and the hair turns gray. Praise God, they'll still be with you. Friend, it matters who you choose to get around you. Get some good people around you, because someday you're going to need somebody to carry you a while until you can get back on your feet. Choose a partner in business that is stronger than you are. Choose someone that knows how to swing an axe. Get away from those lazy people. Get up to those people that like to get up in the morning and say, what can we do to make our life better? And four, choose a friend that is loyal in good times and bad. You need to test your friends. See what kind of friends you got. Sometimes friends are just there when things are going good. You don't want friends like Job had. Said, oh, everything bad happened to you, you deserve it. You need somebody that will stand with you and say, I don't care what happens. I am your friend. I'll be here in good times and in bad. So choose that kind of friend that is loyal in good times and bad. Someone that will carry you to Jesus rather than condemn you to your enemies. And never surrender your destiny to anyone else. I was talking in the foyer to our pastor friend that's going to California. And he was just asking me different things. And I said, well, I almost went to California right after I started this church. And we were just in the first building over here. And a man came by and prophesied that I was to start a church in L.A. I went so far to go to L.A. and get my bank accounts and went apartment shopping and was there for several days. I think I was probably preaching there. But I was making my plans to abandon San Antonio and go to Los Angeles, because I like California. I really do. I like the climate, lots of things I like about California. But when I came back to San Antonio and I prayed, friend, it always pays to pray. When I prayed, my God said to me, hey, that prophet that prophesied over you was just prophesying. I didn't call you to L.A. Close your bank account and stay in San Antonio. The point I'm making, don't surrender your destiny to somebody else. because you're the only one that's got to live with your destiny. Don't surrender it to a parking lot prophet or a would-be good Samaritan that thinks he knows best for your life. Someplace in your life, you've got to find it out for yourself. You got to get a relationship with you and God are on a first name basis. You call him Jesus and he calls you Billy Bob. I mean, you got to know each other's name. You got to be able to talk to him, and you got to be able to look at the grandest prophet in the land and say, what a man of God, but you missed it this time, bub, because I've already heard from God and God has sealed my destiny. There's nothing like knowing that you're in the will of God. Nothing like knowing God is on your side. Oh, there was something about this palsied man that everybody but four had given up on. They said, it ain't over yet. Can somebody just look at somebody and say, it ain't over yet? Look at somebody and say, my best days are coming. It doesn't appear, it doesn't matter how it appears right now. Your best days are coming, praise God. Hallelujah. He might have been in bed, but he was still calling the shots. He said, we're going to see Jesus. And when they got to see Jesus, the four looked around and said, what do we do now? There was a crowd there. There was so many people around the door, you couldn't even get to the door. It was a good excuse and chance to go home. But I believe the man on the bed said, we're not going home till I see Jesus. You just got to get that in your mind. I'm not stopping until I see Jesus. Like the Greeks said, sirs, we would see Jesus. When I come to the house of God, it doesn't matter who's singing. I'm going to push through till I see Jesus. Doesn't matter what the sermon is. I'm going to push through till I see Jesus. When the troubles come, I'm going to push through till I see Jesus. He said, we're not going home. Why don't you just look at the crowd? Why don't you see how many people are around the door? It don't matter how many people are around the door. I've made up my mind. I'm going to see Jesus. Friend, if you make up your mind, you're going to see Jesus. There's always a way. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. It doesn't how big the matter how big the crowd is between you and Jesus. You just got to make up your mind. You've got to be like the little woman with the issue of blood. You might have to get down on your hands and knees and crawl, but through the crowd I'll get until I find the hem of his garment. Ladies and gentlemen, the older I get, the more determined I am to talk to Jesus every day. Just talk to him every day. Hear what he's got to say about what you're doing and where you're going and the changes you need to make. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, Jesus is a friend that you can't abandon just because the crowd is big and the assertions are great. You got to say, Jesus Christ is my friend. I know him on a personal basis, and nothing is going to stop me until I get in his presence. There's just something about the presence of Jesus that will do something that nothing else will do. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is major strength. We're going to see Jesus. But you can see, sir, the crowd is too great. We can't even get to the door. But there's another way. There ain't nobody on the roof. He persuaded those four men to pick him up on a cot and carry him up on that rooftop. And then on the rooftop, he said, it's time to begin to tear the tiling away, is the way the Bible said that. They begin to tear that roof off. The Bible said Jesus, it uses the word preach here, that Jesus was preaching down inside that little house, and all of a sudden, he hears a noise up above. Jesus needs to hear a noise. He needs to hear the fact that you're not going to be denied. You don't care what the obstacles are. Jesus needs to hear you coming. He needs to be able to say to Gabriel and Michael, somebody's on the way, and they will not be denied. Friend, as he was standing there preaching, all of a sudden he looked up because there was plaster coming down in his hair. There was noise up above. There was pieces of sheetrock falling down. And Jesus just stepped back a little bit to see what was going on. it's a wonderful thing when you get Jesus' attention. There's a big crowd that never gets his attention. They hang around the door, but they never get his attention. It's simply the Jacob spirit that says, I'll have the blessing. It's simply the little widow's woman that says, I will not be denied. It's simply that woman that was a Syrophoenician, said, I got a demon-possessed daughter, and I'm not leaving regardless of what theology says until my demon-possessed daughter is delivered. Is there anything in your life that demands the urgency that I will not stop until I hear from God? I will not stop until I see Jesus face to face. I will not stop until I feel the touch of his hand and hear the voice of deity ringing in my ear. I've got to know who Jesus is, and I've got to know that he is going to solve my problem. Oh, can you give God some praise in his house? Oh, you can turn that clap track off. I'm going to say something here, that Jesus Christ is in this building today, and he's just waiting for somebody to step out of the crowd and tear off the roof. And when you walk through those double doors, in a few moments, you're going to say, praise God, my answer came, my miracle manifest, and God is on my case. Can you give the Lord some praise? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So many people outside wanting to get in. They never made it in. Scribes sitting there trying to analyze it and figure it out and make sure whether it was theologically accepted or not. But one man said, I'm going to tear the roof off. My question to you today is, what is between you and your miracle? What is it between you and God intervening in your life? Friend, you've got to get desperate. You've got to get violent. You've got to get that spirit that says, I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll tear away the roof that represents my limitation until I know that I've been in the presence of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has zeroed in on me. When Jesus finally looked up, and here come that bed down, four men with ropes or blankets lowering it down in the presence of Jesus, he was impressed. Friend, when you impress Jesus, things happen. When he says, I've never seen such faith as all of Israel, something's going to happen. Friend, I can tell you today that if you will liberate the praise that is in you, just turn it loose. There's something inside of you right now that will attract the attention of Jesus Christ in such a dramatic fashion that whatsoever you ask, he will do. Whatsoever you pray, he will perform. He's in this room right now. He's not marching in a Memorial Day parade somewhere. He's in Living Way House today. And he's saying to somebody, praise me, glorify me, lift me up, tear the roof off. The crowd can stand at the door, but it's you I've got my eye on. I'm getting ready to heal your body. I'm getting ready to save your son. I'm getting ready to change your bank account. I'm getting ready to change your address. I know who you are. I've heard your praise. It stopped me in my tract. It interrupted me in my sermon because I'm in the house, and you've made up your mind that you're going to get in here with me. And praise God, something is going to happen before you leave this building today. Oh, hallelujah. Give God some praise. Somebody's sneaking up on a miracle right now. Somebody's about to grab a miracle and say, I got you now, and you can't get loose. Somebody's like Jacob that the angel came to wrestle with, that found out that he wasn't wrestling with Jacob, but Jacob was wrestling with him. And when the angel got ready to go, Jacob said, no, not yet. I hadn't got what I needed. I know that we have come to praise God, and God's come to talk to us, but now we're taking a hold of God and said, not yet, God. You're not leaving yet. Not as long as my daughter is dying. Not as long as I'm broke. Not as long as I'm sick, not as long as my son needs a healer, you're not going yet. It's time somebody wrestled with God. It's time somebody tore the roof off. It's time somebody said, now is the time. Today is the day. On this Memorial Sunday, praise God, there's a miracle percolating in this building, and you might as well claim it. Throw your hands up and praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. You're healed. You're healed. And the scribes wanted to criticize the method. Friend, when you're sick and you get healed, you're not too critical of the method. When you're going to hell and you reverse directions and you're going to heaven, you're not too analytical of the message. It's just the fact, like the man said, I don't know much about it, sirs. All I can tell you, I was blind, but now I see. And his name was Jesus, and I don't know who he was, but I know that suddenly out of darkness there came light. Out of blindness there came vision. I'm not very critical, and I know there's a lot of people got a lot of bad things to say about God. But friend, I just can't sing in your choir because I can't harmonize with your criticism, because the God that I know has been a good God to me. He found me when I was lost, and he saved me. When the doctor said you're sick, he said you're well. When the banker said you're broke, he said you're prosperous. When the psychiatrist said you're depressed, he said you got joy unspeakable. I just found him to be a good God. I found him to be a mighty God. I found him to be a savior. I found him to be a healer. I found him to be a waymaker. I found him to be a lover of the lost. I found him to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And if you don't mind, I'll just have me a praise break right now. Hallelujah. He's my God and my Savior, and he's worth praising, and we need to glorify him. Woo! Glory! Give God some praise in this house. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Somebody that's sick ought to step out in the aisle and do a little dance for Jesus and let the Lord heal your body right now. Somebody that's broke. Somebody that's broke ought to borrow a dollar from somebody and sit next to him and throw it on the altar and say, it's just a little seed because I got money coming to my house this week. Somebody that's discouraged ought to reach over and hug somebody and say, be encouraged in Jesus' name. Sow you a little seed. We got a good God, and he's on our side. He's in this house. He's in this house. One more tile to go. Tear the tiles off. Tear the roof off. One more tile to go. One more rafter to break. And you can let this old bed down, praise God. And I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. You're only a half a hallelujah away from a miracle. You're only a praise the Lord away from a breakthrough. You're only a shout away from an answer to an unanswered prayer. You need to go home. Tear the roof off. Get on the roof and say, I will not be denied. I won't be part of the crowd. I won't be critical. I'm just going to get down in front of Jesus and let him do his work. Hallelujah. Oh, turn the clap track off. Sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me wrap it up. Which is easier to say to the sick of palsy? Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way, or thy sins be forgiven thee. It's all the self-same spirit. Did he save you? Well, yes, he did. Then he can heal you. Did he heal you? Then he can write you a check. I said it's all the self-same spirit. Which is easier to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk, or thy sins? Which is easier? It's all the same to God. You don't have a problem that he can't solve. You don't have a battle that he can't win. You don't have a need that he can't meet. He is able. It's all easy to God. He is the God of the universe. Stepped out on nothing and said, let there be and there was plenty. That's the God that we serve today. It's all easy for God. You ain't the Lone Ranger. You're not the first masked hombre he's ever seen. Your case is not unique. He healed somebody before he healed you. He saved somebody before he saved you. He met somebody's need before he met your need. He increased somebody's bank account before he prospered you. He's not a novice. This is not God's first rodeo. He knows what he's doing. You're not baffling God. He is able. He is able to perform that which he has promised, and he is not diminished. He was, he is, and he will be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's in this house. He's a healer. He's a mighty God. He's a deliverer. He's a provider. Tear the roof off. Get on the roof. Get on the roof. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I touched on this on Wednesday night ago. When Jesus worked a miracle, these were invariably his instructions. Arise, take up your bed, and walk. That's what Jesus always said at the consummation of a miracle. And that's what he's saying in this room today to everybody that has a need. Arise! What does that mean? It means change your attitude. It means replace doubt with faith, depression with hope. It means don't look down, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God's saying to somebody sitting in the pew with a problem, arise, arise, arise. Change your attitude and say, don't say any longer, I don't know why. I say, I know he will. I know he has. I know he is. My God is working on me right now. Things are happening in my heart. Things are happening in my body. Things are happening in my house. Things are happening in my household. Things are happening in my family. Things are happening in my... Oh, I think I'll just arise. I won't sit down no longer. I'm going to stand up at attention and salute the God of the universe. Arise, God is saying to somebody. And the second thing he said, take up your bed. What does that mean? They had certain beds that sent a signal. They didn't have the communication that we had. You couldn't get on a cell phone and tell them so-and-so was sick. So they had designated beds so that people could pity them, so people could give them wide berth. When you saw them care, when you saw them in that particular bed, it meant they were sick. And they needed your compassion and anything that you could do to help them. But Jesus said, arise and take up your bed. Fold it up, somewhat portable. One man could carry it. Oh, Jesus never allows you to have a burden you can't carry. He'll give you the strength to carry it. You say, I can't go on. Oh, yes, you can. The Lord will strengthen you. The thing that carried you, you are now going to carry. Destroy the evidence of your past. Jesus always said, arise and take up your bed. Don't let anybody see you on that sick bed. He said, pick it up. Pick it up. Destroy the evidence. There's a lot of people that like to syndicate their sorrows. Talk about how sick they are, how sick they were, and how sick they're going to be. Friend, you got to start destroying the evidence. You got to say, I don't think I need that anymore, because I heard the Lord say, arise. And the next thing I hear him saying is, take up your bed. Destroy the evidence. Ain't going to be needing that crutch no more. Used to have, Brother Percy, a fifth to get through the day. But praise God, don't need that no more. Just break the bottle, praise God. Just throw it away. Break the syringe. Lay it down, praise God. Because I tore the roof off and I've been in the presence of Jesus. I came through the roof, but I'm going out the door. Can you imagine there were some mad folk in that big crowd of people when that guy put that bed under his arm and several hundred people were trying to get in the door? And he said, I'm not trying to get in, I'm trying to get out. Because what you're looking for, I've done found. what you're seeking's already manifest. He said, I was, but I ain't no more, because the one that's inside there, oh, don't you know there was a big rush to go to the rooftop, but it's too late. Jesus has already moved on. Friend, you can't be an imitator of other people. You've got to get your own ingenuity with God and say, I know the Lord will hear my song. I know the Lord's going to hear my plea. I know the Lord's going to see my prayer. I don't praise God like nobody else, but the Lord thinks it's just very special because he sees my heart. He knows I got a faith tearing off, roof tearing off kind of faith, and I will not be denied. That was just his first choice. There was a window he was going to try next. He was going down a chimney if that didn't work. Faith just never stops. If it can't find a door, it'll find a roof. If it can't find a roof, it'll find a chimney. If it can't find a chimney, it'll find a window. But somehow, I'm going to get through. I will not be denied. Rise and take up your bed and walk. What does that mean? Do what you could not do before. I found that's very, very good. I don't know about you, but the devil has not left me alone yet. He still comes around on a pretty regular basis. He whispers in my ear. He shouts in my face. He tries to put me in a headlock. He tries to put me in a half Nelson, a whole Nelson, tries to get my arm behind my back. He makes my kidneys hurt, and he makes my head ache. He makes my knees want to be an old man's knees. But, oh, I found out that I am greater in God than he is, and I rebuke him every day. And so when I find out something don't work like it used to work, Brother Allen, when I was 21, I put a little oil on it. I'm big on that oil on myself. I just like to grease up a little bit. You know, that's what God did for David, Samuel did for David before he put that crown on his head. The Bible said he put oil, just greasing him up for a crown. God's greasing somebody up for a crown in this building right now. Just put the oil on. And so praise God, I get a little pain in my knee, and I put some oil on it, and I pray over it, and then I just get up and walk around and dance around a little bit, and then I say, praise God, the pain is gone. It makes the devil so mad, but it makes God glad. Friend, when you make God glad, good things happen. And you can make him glad by praising his name. Praise him in the bad times and the good times. Praise God. So he said, arise, take up your bed and walk. Do something you ain't never done before. Something you couldn't do a while ago. Somebody said, I got a pain in my hip. If I had a pain in my hip, I'd limp down that aisle right there until I didn't limp no more. Praise God. If I had a pain in my chest, I'd put my hand on my chest right now and say, hey, I believe Jesus is in this building. This would be a good time to get my heart fixed. This would be a good time to get the cancer out of my breast. This would be a good time to get the stones out of my kidneys. This would be a good time to get my diabetes adjusted, praise God, because I tore the roof off and I'm in the house of God. I've risen up. I've taken up my bed, and now I'm going to do a little walking. I'm going to do something I ain't never done before. Four, I couldn't do a while ago. That's one of my most fun times. It happens pretty regularly. Some of you don't hear about all of them, but somebody comes down here and says, Pastor, when I would come to church tonight, happens a lot on Wednesday night, and when I came to church tonight, this was happening, but now I ain't there, Pastor. Oh, I'm walking. I'm doing something I wasn't able to do before. Hallelujah. Exercise your faith. By reason of use, they had their gifts exercised by reason of use. Use them, praise God. Praise God until the breakthrough comes. Praise God until the devil is subdued. Praise God until the angels applaud. Praise God until the glory of God descends on you. I tell you, God's in this house right now. I want every living being to stand on your feet if you can. I want you to lift as high as you can, and I want you to begin to pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Your choices in life are always this. You can be the man on the roof, or you can be a part of the mangled mass in the street that never ever gets through the door. I've chosen to be a Jacob. I've chosen to be a Syrophoenician woman. I've chosen to be a combative widow woman that just won't take no for an answer. I'm just not going to be denied. God said it's there, and I'm going to take it, praise God. God said I can be saved, and I'm saved. God said I can be filled, and I'm filled. God said I can be liberated, and I'm free, praise God. God said I can be prosperous, and I'm prosperous. God said I can be in health, and I'm going to laugh in the face of every doctor in San Antonio and said, you were right, but now you're wrong. Oh, when I deal with doctors, they're right, but I'll prove them wrong. When they say it, that's the way it was. But after I get through, praise God, things have changed a little bit because there is a God in heaven that lives in San Antonio, and he is my God. I rise up. I take up my bed. I walk. I believe God for the impossible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here she comes. Praise God. Sister Mary, as you come, I believe the power of God is on you. I believe it's going to get stronger as you come. Just keep on coming. Just come in praise. Somebody else in this building need a miracle? What is it? What is it? What is it? You need to tear the roof off with your faith today and say, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to leave an unanswered door. I'm going to knock till somebody answers. Praise God. The healer's in the house. The Savior's in the house. The baptizer's in the house. The soul saver. You say, I got kids that are lost. Don't let them be lost. Take them to the altar in your spirit and say, my kids are saved. I'm not going to quit till all of my kids are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not going to stop. There's going to be some miracles happen here today. On this Memorial Day weekend, there's some miracles happen. If you're lost, would you come right now and get saved? If you're a good Baptist...